And oh, how many servants of the Lord do work in obscurity, who do so many deeds of kindness, who perform their acts of stewardship without anybody really knowing. How many are like that? But at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to learn who has served the Lord well, and there will be reward given up. Now, I think this is also just the beginning. We're going to remain in heaven during the period of the great consummation of events on earth that lead up to Armageddon. And then, as described in Revelation 19, at the time of the second coming of Christ, we are going to be part of that great procession of saints and angels that come from heaven to earth as Christ judges the world, takes it over, and brings in his ideal kingdom of righteousness and peace that the world so sorely needs. And apparently, while the scriptures do not give us details, we are going to share in this government, and we are going to have a part in the millennial kingdom of Christ. We are going to be serving him, much perhaps as angels serve him now, as his messengers. Only we will have physical bodies, bodies of flesh and bone, as Christ described his own body, bodies that will be recognizable and related to the bodies that we had in this life, and yet marvelously transformed and made beautiful by the grace of God for our eternal purposes in Christ. Then at the end of the 1,000 years, the scriptures make plain that this present universe is going to be destroyed. Heaven and earth flee away. Earth and heaven are dissolved by fire. And God creates a new heaven and a new earth. And this is described for us in the closing chapters of the book of Revelation, where beginning in chapter 21, we are told that John in his vision saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And this New Jerusalem, which apparently was in existence in the millennium, possibly as a satellite city over the earth, and possibly the home of the translated and resurrected saints during the millennium, is now going to descend to the new earth and apparently rest there. It's rather interesting that while we have no description of the heavens and know very little about the earth except that it has no more sea, our attention is directed to the glory of this city. And this is described as a bride, all the beauty of a bride prepared for her husband. It's described as a great city, having the glory of God, verse 11. And her light was like a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now, as you read on in the description, you discover that the city is square, about 1,500 miles square, and that's bigger even than any city we have in Texas, or in California, for that matter. This is going to be a great city. If you put one corner in Los Angeles, the other corner would be somewhere beyond Texarkana, which is the eastern point of Texas. A huge city. And it's going to be surrounded by walls. And there's going to be east, west, north, and south. On each side, three gates described as being gigantic pearls, with the name of Israel written on the gate. And then, as we have the city described, we discover it is beautiful beyond any power to really describe. All the materials of the city are translucent. Even the golden streets are like glass. There is going to be brilliant light there, the light of the glory of God. No sun and moon will be necessary. There will be no night there. And the city is described as having its foundations adorned with beautiful stones of every color of the rainbow. In fact, we almost realize that the writer of the book of Revelation is running out of words as he attempts to describe the beauty of this city. And this is going to be our eternal home. There are many questions that are not answered. But we know that all of the redeemed of all ages are going to be in this holy city. That the angels, the holy angels, are going to reside there. But most of all, the eternal God is going to be there. And Christ, our Savior, is going to be there. The city is not going to have a temple, because in a sense, the whole city is the temple of God, the dwelling place of God throughout all ages. And you and I are going to share that wonderful existence. Now, I'm sure we're not just going to sit around. The Bible does not tell us all that we'll be able to do. I assume we'll be able to leave the city and examine the new earth. And I assume it's going to be beautiful. If our present sin-cursed earth can have so much beauty, how much more an earth that is not cursed with sin? And if our present heavens can be beautiful, certainly the heavens in this situation are also going to be beautiful. And we're going to have an unending existence of blessing and joy and peace in the presence of the Lord, in fellowship with our loved ones in Christ, on forever and ever. Now, as we think back over this, we can see that God's plan for us is, first of all, a plan for a brand new body for every one of us, a body that is beautiful and suited for the presence of the Lord, a brand new relationship. We're going to be the bride of Christ and be forever with Him, with a wonderful love relationship with our friends and loved ones carried on into eternity. And then we're going to have a new field of service at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to have new opportunities for fulfillment to show our love for Christ and our desire to serve Him. And then finally, in the New Jerusalem, we're going to have our ultimate final home, living forever without interruption, the blessed experience of being with the Lord and with our loved ones in Christ. And so as we live today, in a world that has so many dark shadows, where in the lives of so many of the Lord's people, there are deep sorrows and deep troubles. And my, certainly in our day, it seems as if trouble has multiplied even for the children of God. But what a blessed hope. What a joyous expectation that any day, the Lord may come. And suddenly this wonderful future will unfold before us of being forever with the Lord. I trust this morning that if the Lord should come, that you're ready. Not ready because you have been good enough or because you've worked hard enough, but ready because you have recognized in Jesus Christ the only Savior, the one who died on the cross for your sins, the one who rose from the dead, the one who intercedes in glory for His own, and the one who is willing to save everyone that will come to Him in faith. Christ said, "Him that cometh unto Me, I will in no wise cast out." If there ever was an hour in the history of the world when needy hearts should come to Christ and put their trust in Him for salvation and for eternity, it is the hour in which we're living. And it's not too late. Tomorrow could be. But today is still the day of opportunity. And God is waiting, waiting for those to come who have not yet come to Christ. If I'm speaking to you today, I trust you will come. It is done so simply. It is done so sincerely. Simply coming to Christ, trusting Him for what He is, God's Son and Savior. And trusting Him for what He did when He died on the cross for your sins. And then committing your life and your sins and your eternity into the hands of the One who loved you and gave Himself for you. May God grant that if you need to make decisions for Christ, that you'll do it on this day. Shall we pray? Our Father, how we thank Thee for Thy Word and for the wonderful hope that is ours as Christians. In contrast to the dark shadows that are creeping over our present world. Oh, our Father, how wonderful it is to have faith in Christ, to know that no matter what comes, that we are going to be forever with the Lord. but then also to have that wonderful hope, that blessed hope, that Christ may be coming even today, that even today we may see him face to face, begin the wonderful experience of being forever with the Lord. Oh, speak to our hearts, our Father, this day, according to our need. For we ask in Christ's name, amen.